So we got off of the word of this word last week. I took an intermission and went somewhere else because I just spoke my heart. But I wasn't finished with Psalms 105. And I want to go back to Psalms 105 because I just really wanted to go back to that message and make sure I brought everything to the conversation that this psalm spoke to me and make sure that we were solid on it. And then we'll move on to the next message. But I didn't want to just, there was another part of this that I didn't want to leave out. So reading from the Amplified, starting from verse one, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds amongst the people." And so I was really putting an emphasis on God not only wants you to worship him, but he wants you to bring glory to the deeds that he's done for you. Talk about it. That's your testimony. Not just he saved me when I was lost, and he said, but the deeds, the things that I've done for you, make them clear for people to see. And I want to have this conversation. It's going to be humorous in a way, but then it's serious. I met with my neighbor who has a business that he wants me to invest in, and we sat down and we talked. And the conversation, because I gave him my book, went to into faith. And we really don't believe in God, or we believe in God, but we don't believe in religion, or and you know, this whole conversation went started going down a path. And I said, "Well, God, do I jump in on this one? Because I'm not one to run from a fight, you know, or conversation, or whatever, you know." And so one of them went very, very strong on evolution, and he went on to he don't believe in religion, he don't believe in God, and this whole thing, or like, and well, he kind of believes in God, but not really, and you could see the confusion. And he was trying to really bait me into this argument and faith. And I'm making this point for a reason. I said, "Okay, God, there's so many things I can say, scripturally and everything, to mash this dude. But he's already saying that he doesn't believe the word. So where do I go with it?" And Daddy said to me, "Don't speak to him on your terms. Speak to him on his terms. Show my works. Brag about my works, give glory to my works without having to go and say, well, let me put up this scripture in this verse." So God gave me a simple rebuttal for him. I let him finish his whole dissertation. And I said to him, "You're a man of great faith." He said, "No, I'm not a believing faith." I said, "No, you're a very religious man, you're very, very strong faith and very strong religious conviction." And he said, "No, I'm not. I said, you know, you just said that you believe that we come from nothing and something exploded out of nowhere, and then some, you know, one cell organism fell in the water, and then it grew into more and kept on growing and growing and growing, and here we are today. Man, that's a lot of faith to believe that you came from nothing. I believe I came from something. You believe you came from nothing. Talk about fairy tales and pixie dust, and because he said the Bible to him was close to like a Harry Potter book." I said, "Well, yeah, what you're saying is even more mystical and magical than anything I could possibly believe. It's, you know," and he sat there, he kept saying, "No, but it's the truth." And I said, "Based on what? Books I've read." "Oh, you read books. And you've come to this truth based on books." "Well, I came to my truth based on a book." And I saw, as I was speaking to him, he stopped at a certain point, and I said, "You are guilty of the very thing that you despise so much in religious people. You're trying to indoctrinate me, and you're trying to force your belief on me, and you're almost agitated that I won't believe your belief." "No, that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to explain my position." "No, your position was explained." And I said, "And the thing is, it's not new. You didn't create this. You didn't make this up. Well, it goes by history. Yes, his story. Got right. His story. Whoever wrote that story, you took that story and you made it your God. Now it's your story, but you didn't make it up. You didn't originate this, which makes it a religion, which makes it your religion, which makes you a man of faith, of great faith, in the belief of nothing. Respect. And he stopped and said, I'm really trying to push my way on you, aren't I? Yeah, you are. He said, and then he said this to me, and I'm telling you this story for a reason. He said to me, I've talked to a lot of people that's Christians, including my family. I never heard anybody break it down like that. And I said, I don't have a need to fight with you about something that I don't believe exists. If you don't believe God exists, how are you angry at him for letting children die on it? He said, well, you know, children dying all over. I said, well, and I'm sharing this with you for a reason. I said, well, why is that a bad thing? And he was aghast, and you probably are that I said that. How is that a bad thing? Children dying, you don't think that's bad? I said, I didn't say I don't think it's bad. I'm asking you, who decided it was a bad thing? I don't understand what you mean. Killing and murder and stuff is bad. Based on who? Your God is nothing, so nothing is wrong. So where do you get these principles that stealing and killing kids and all of that stuff is bad? That sounds a little bit like the Ten Commandments. That's like you slipping into my book, like the book you don't accept. That's in my book. The guidelines of what's good and bad and evil and not is in my book. Get out of my book. In your book, nothing created nothing. I should have a right to do whatever I want to do to you or whoever. Just kept going. Okay, I never looked at it like that. And I said, see, when you have the goodness of God in your life, you don't have the need to fight with somebody else. If you came to me with an argument about unicorns, whether they exist or not, or pixies or elves, nobody's going to get into an all-out fight about it. You're mad because you don't believe in God. And you have to believe in him to be that mad to not believe in him. You don't get mad and don't believe in something that doesn't exist. So for you to fight to not believe in him, that means you have to have him as a belief to not believe. That's a little weird, but that's the way God gave it to me to give to him. And he went, okay. I said, I'm not arguing with you about your nothing, God. He's nothing. There's no back and forth for us. He's nothing. So it's like, what am I going to do? I can't even complain about him. I went further than this than I wanted to, but I figured you would be very interested and amused, and hopefully you could use some of these in your conversations going forward. But more than the conversation, ready? The thing that spoke to him was my peace. The thing that spoke to him was my confidence in my God and his goodness was so real to me that it didn't make a difference what he said and how he said it. I kept saying, well, that sounds like it works for you. It makes sense to me for what you believe and more power to you. And he couldn't understand why I wouldn't go on defense. I said, because he's been too good to me. I can talk about his goodness. I can share stories with you about his goodness in my life, and I know that they're real and they're real to me. They don't have to be real to you because they're real to me. I can boast on his goodness. I can see, I can. So I wasn't just talking about the God that I believed existed. I was talking about the God that I believe existed and what he means to me and what he does for me and has done for me continually. And I can share that. And he said to me, you're listening? I want that peace you got. That's what he said. I want that peace. He said, what you just did right there, I want that more than anything else. I said, well, you can't get that from the nobody God. You know, you have to come on this side because that's where that comes from. I can't. And he was like, wow. And he looked at his partner, and his partner was like, wow. You're really good. And I was like, because God's really good. So I was able to keep boasting on his goodness and glorifying his goodness as a stake of who I am and why I am. So, not about my stuff. Now he got me a new car. He got me a raise on my job. I want that peace you have. I want to, he said, I was starting to combat you. I was coming at you strong and you just like didn't move. Like, and I was like, because I have a truth that's real to me and I don't feel the need to defend it. It's mine. You can't take it. I don't have an obligation to make you accept it. And the peace of God and the goodness of God on your life should be evident. When he said to me, I want that peace you have, I went, ooh, that blessed me because I didn't really acknowledge that peace I had. I didn't really acknowledge, because I've gotten situations with people where I just they just ticked me off with their religious crap and I just went at it. But I'm in a different place now where I'm starting to stop and acknowledge the goodness and grace and love of God above all other things. And the need to defend me. I mean, I've been rejected by my whole family for a season, you know, and everybody. And Jesus said, you know, God said, when your mother and father put you out, I'll take you in. Oh my God, is that word true? You can fight to try to make them take you back, or you can say, God, you take me in. And what happens? Joseph and his brother, Joseph's brothers and all, and wind up coming right back. Because when God finishes with you, then he can bring to you the next level of what he has for you. I'm preaching to somebody, right? When God finishes working with me, then he can represent me to those who rejected me. And when they try to dig in to find the old me and he doesn't exist, they then have to make a decision. It's not my problem. But the key is you come to a place of peace where you know who you are in Christ and you begin to glorify God. Are you listening to me? You begin to glorify God in his works, in his actions, in your life, not by the stuff you have, but by what you've become. Can I get an amen from somebody? Thumb up, type an amen in chat, something. Because that's the true peace that passes all understanding. I'm stepping into it in a way that I don't even know myself anymore. I wasn't ready for the way I responded. I had not been put in a situation where I had to respond that way. But in doing so, I found a me that I didn't know existed. Ooh, hallelujah. I like the way that sounds. I found a me that I didn't know existed. I found that there was a different person that had been in a cocoon that had been forming and becoming into something else that God released. And I was able to say, I'm good with me and I'm good with my God. Somebody say, I'm good with me and I'm good with my God. His God is fine. The God that doesn't exist, that just blows up out of nowhere, he can have him. I don't have a problem. But you're not good with yours. That's why you want to fight mine. I'm good with mine and I'm good with yours. You know, whatever your God is, I'm good with it. This is a way that we glorify God. I didn't plan to stay on this long. We glorify God better in that peace than we do in fighting and turmoil amongst ourselves, within ourselves, or with other people. And I'm learning it. It's like, yeah. This is a good place. Does things still hurt? Sure. People say things that have hurt my feelings. Of course, there's the emotional reaction. But like I said before the message started, we can't make decisions based on a feeling or a feeling at the moment or how something makes us feel. We have to be able to pull back. Get quiet and say, okay, God, what say you? But I got mad and cussed him out. Okay, still not too late. Still pull back, get before God, get quiet, pray, and then follow the instruction. And he may say to you, now go back and repent. He may say to you, they got what they deserve, leave them alone. You know what I'm saying? Whatever the case may be, Even getting caught up in the shame of your current decision is you acting out of feeling. I feel bad about that thing. Did you repent? Yeah. Be careful about that, because sometimes you don't repent. What I mean by that is you don't turn from it. You hold it in front of you as a badge of shame and thinking that that makes you somehow closer to God by being very ashamed of yourself. It does not. Did you hear what I just said? That's very important. Being sorry and shameful about what you did is not repentance. That's shame and guilt. Let's call it what it is. Being sorry for it and then laying it at his feet and turning away from it, that's repentance. The definition of repentance is to turn away. Don't look in the direction anymore. She says, you know, you decide, I did. I did. Not happy about that. But that's behind me, and I'm going this way now. I'm not going to walk around wearing it on my shoulder or tie it around my neck as a reminder of what a jerk I am. That's foolishness. Who was that for? Did that bless somebody? Amen. Amen. So I didn't get past verse one. I want to kind of get down to verse 6 and 7. Okay. Give thanks unto the Lord. Psalms 105, verse 1. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds to the people. Sing praise to him. Sing praise to him. Speak of all of his wonderful acts and devoutly praise them. That was where I really went in last week. Speak of his wonderful works and acts and praise them. Give praise to the acts that he's done for you. It's not a wrong to praise the works. It's right there in the word. I won't do a whole message on it again. I did it 2 weeks ago. Part one, you go get part one, is there. Glory in his holy name. Glory in his name, right? Let the hearts of those who seek and inquire of the Lord as their most essential need rejoice. Seek and deeply long for the Lord and his strength, his power, and his might. Again, his works. Seek it. Seek the word. I don't seek God for anything. I just to be joy, just to be, you know, he told you, no, you seek me first and you put me first and then you look out for my praise, I mean, for my moves so that you can praise them as well. Well, how do you balance that? That's a rough one, right? You know, I'm going to put God first, but I'm going to put the things. Listen, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. But when those things are added, they are to be praised about, talked about, rejoiced about, shared, worn proudly. These are the things that we do that say to people, yeah, my God is a provider. But what about all the children? Listen, I can't speak for all the children. I can speak for me, and I'm not going to get in defense of my God. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to try any longer in life to try to defend well, that's the devil. That's what the devil do. But why is God allowed? Listen, it's a stupid conversation that's going to go on and on and on. It's not going to have an ending in sight. So what's your nothing God doing about it? Thank you. I have no conversation. I have a savior, and he died for my sins because I'm not right, and I will never be right enough in myself. And so his works are worthy to be praised. The works of on the cross, those are the works. Those are the works he did on my behalf. Those works are to be praised. He delivered me out of the situation. Those are his works. He gave me peace when everything seemed wrong. Those are his works. He healed my body when my body was sick. Those were his works. He gave you guidance in every little situation you come across. The fact that he sent his son, and you can say, Abba, Father, because of that. Those are his works. Praise those works. Amen. So I was on verse 4. Seek and deeply long for the Lord and his strength, his power, and his might. Seek and deeply long for his face, his presence continually. Remember with awe and gratitude the wonderful things he has done. Do you see it again? It's this verse has been consistently talking about the things he has done and how you should give praise to them, the things that he has done. This, oh my God. When you look at the works of God, please don't ever let them become so normal that you don't give praise to them anymore. Don't let them become average. You know, I hear people pray, and sometimes I think they mean it, sometimes I think it's just form. Lord, I thank you that you woke me up this morning. I thank you that my legs are working. I can see. I got eyes. I can see. I got ears. I can hear. I thank you. I got taste that I can taste. I can touch. I thank you. I things that can make me laugh and bring me joy. I thank you for my friends. Thank you. And I will hear people pray these prayers. And I'm like, yeah. And it's like, oh, so that's not a big deal. Those are not important anymore. Oh, they're very important, Lord. And I do thank you for them. And I do want to stop and give glory to them. They got so many problems, they got bills, and I just praying for God help. Okay, yeah. But I want to say, God, I am still very mindful of the blessings that are mine every day without me even asking for it. That my heart still beats. And if it didn't, I would cease to exist. You know, I wake up in the morning, I get ready to do something, I can get up and do it. I can dress myself. I can brush my own teeth. I can, you know. I can do what I need to do. Those are his works. Those are his deeds. Every day, the things that we don't even count anymore. Let's not forget to give him praise for his deeds. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 5 again, remember with awe and gratitude the wonderful things he has done, his amazing deeds, and the judgments uttered by his mouth on the enemies as in Egypt. Here's the next point. O you offspring of Abraham, his servants, you sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments in all the earth. He has remembered. Say, he has remembered. And it's important before I read the rest of this, is he didn't forget. Even if you forgot, even if you think he forgot, even if you think it's no longer there because you haven't seen it lately, it says he has not forgot. He remembers his covenant. He remembers his covenant forever. The word which he commanded and established for 1,000 generations. All the promises of God are yea and amen. And why are they yea and amen, even if you don't remember them? Why does your heart still beat? Why do you still function? Why does he still keep you? Because he remembers the promise he made to you, even when we forget. And sometime in us forgetting, the enemy finds the ability to steal from us things that belong to us. But he remembers his covenant to you and his promises for 1,000 generations. Now, I'm not an expert on this, but how long is a generation? Is there, are there years attached to a generation? And so, how many? Somebody can slap it in the chat if you know it, because I don't. Here's what I do know. It's more than a lifetime. And because it's more than a lifetime, 20 to 30 years, thank you. So a generation is 30 years, 20 to 30 years. So if we split it at 25 times 1,000, for 1,000 generations. I know that's figurative. I know he's not saying, and then after 1,000 generations, I forget. The point is, he's saying in your lifetime, it never ends. And then if he promises me it for 1,000 generations, and then he promises my son it for 1,000 generations, then he promises it to my grandson for 1,000 generations, then it never ends. So I've been trying to, in myself, understand this goodness that he's promising to me for generations. And I want you to pay attention to what I'm about to say. It's one thing to have a covenant with me, a friendship and a relationship with me. I don't owe it to your kids. I don't owe it to your kids' kids unless we make that covenant that we're going to look out for each other's family. But sooner or later, I leave this planet. So whatever that covenant was between me and you and your kids are not obligated to uphold it to my kids, and my kids are not obligated to uphold it to yours. It's my covenant. Stay with me. Pay attention. You're going to see where I'm going. What kind of love promises to take care of me in 1,000 generations beyond me because of my relationship? What or who is close or in your family that you feel may be a lost cause, but God says, but I'm still going to look out for them because I keep covenant for generations, because I have a relationship with you. I'm going to cover you through your family. I need you to catch that. I got your family too. Are you hearing what I'm saying right now? I hope it's not going over your head. I have to remember that in this time and season, that God is saying, I'm going to cover your whole family because of you. I'm going to generations and generations to come because of your decision before me will be covered. Are you getting that? I mean, that's a hallelujah moment if you're really catching what I'm saying. So that means Ruth, Ruel, DJ and Ruel's kids, Ruel and their kids' kids, and their kids' kids, and their kids' kids for 1,000 generations because of what you did in the covenant you made with God. That for me is overwhelming as I start to think about it. So I don't need to worry about this one, that one, the other one, and that. You're telling me because I made a vow to you, you're going to keep that covenant with me for 1,000 generations. So when I think about David and Mephibosheth, and he said, if I could go find him just so I can bring him before me because of my covenant with his father. And God said, I'm going to do that for 1,000 generations. I think we need to begin to claim that and stand on that. So I'm going to read that again, and then I'm going to go to the next verse, and I'm going to wrap it up. Verse 8, he has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded and established to 1,000 generations. What covenant? What covenant? What are we talking about? You remember this covenant for 1,000 generations. Next verse. The covenant which he made with Abraham. That's a good Selah, amen, close the book. But I'm going to read it. The covenant which he made with Abraham and swore to his son Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel, an everlasting covenant. I need you to get this. This is important because it's confirming everything I just said to you. Let's go back again. 8. He remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded and established to 1,000 generations. Then he says, watch this. Stay with me. Stay with me. This is going to be probably more educational than shouty, but it's going to be a whole bunch of stuff if you get it. The covenant which he made to Abraham. So he's saying, I made this covenant to Abraham. But he said, and then swore also to Isaac. Why? Because of the covenant with Abraham, which he confirmed on Jacob as a statute to Israel, an everlasting covenant. So started from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then all of Israel, the person and his seed, because of the covenant he made with Abraham. Are you getting that? Is anybody lost on what I'm saying right here? So this conversation is, I promised it to him, and it was passed down to all the generations. I guess if he kept naming names, it would go on and on and on. He said, into Israel, an everlasting covenant. It's never going away. Saying, to you, I will give you the land of Canaan as the measured portion of your inheritance. When there were only a few men in number, very few in fact, and strangers in it. So I'm going to stop here for the sake of time today, and I'm going to bring this one point back home. Verse 5, remember with awe and gratitude the wonderful things which he has done. Don't forget what he did. That's one. Two, his amazing deeds and judgments uttered from his mouth on the enemies of Egypt, as in Egypt, I mean. You, the offspring of Abraham, his servants, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, we're his chosen ones in Christ, who is a descendant of the descendants. He is the Lord our God, his judgments in all the earth. He remembered his covenant forever. So what am I saying? And here's where I bring it home. To Abraham, and Isaac, Jacob, who became Israel, and all of Israel forever. Are you listening? And all the descendants. Ready? All the way down to you. Doesn't the scripture say you're children of Abraham? So, seed of Abraham, I mean. So, whether it be grafted in or born in the birthright, you are a seed of Abraham. And that seed and that covenant that he's talking about right here, he's saying has been passed down for thousands of generations straight to me. I'm claiming it. If you don't, that's not my problem. That promise is passed down through the seed of Abraham, which is us, which is me, which is me, which is me, me, just me, me. Not my responsibility to claim stuff for you. It's your responsibility to claim stuff for you. It's passed down to me. I am a part of that generation. Are you going to forcefully claim yours and say, that's me? I saw Ruth did it. This verse is talking to you. Now go out and boast and glory and give glory to the works that he has done for you. That covenant was prepared for me from back with Abraham and is mine to this day. And then Jesus comes up and says, in the writings, not Jesus, but in the writings in the New Testament says, and you have a better covenant than that of Abraham. Because, well, how is it better? Because you have access directly through the throne without having to go to a high priest. You can call him Abba Father. You can come before him without having to bring bullocks and doves and goats and blood and all this kind of stuff. You could just walk right in there and bust in the room right in the meeting where he's been having his meeting and say, hey, daddy, can I come talk to you a minute? And just go jump right up in his lap and start talking to him and hugging on him, loving on him, and getting wisdom from him. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, it doesn't make any difference. You have that access to the throne. You have access to his love. You have access to his wisdom. You have access to his peace. You have access to his knowledge, his understanding. You have access to all of that all day, every day. That's what makes our covenant better than that of Abraham. So that means it's better than Abraham. That means all the wealth and all the success Abraham had belongs to us. And we have access without having to go to anybody, limitless access to God 24 hours a day. And that's the thing that makes our covenant a better covenant than his. So it doesn't mean we're supposed to be without that part of the covenant. That belongs to us too. But then better, we have access. Unlimited access. Not once a week or once a year jubilee. And I remember when people was doing these whole things, it's the year jubilee. Listen, if we have Christ, every year is the year jubilee. Our jubilee is all the time. You are a descendant of the Most High. We're supposed to praise him, seek him, glorify him, glorify his works, seek his face. But more important, he says, don't forget the covenant, because you can't stand in these places if you don't know what belongs to you. You can't go to the bank and demand them give you $100,000 if you only got $10 in there. But when you know what God has promised you and what belongs to you, you can come confidently and say, thank you, Father. This is mine. I receive it. Thank you so much for doing it for me. And I'll end it on this. What I don't like about the prosperity teaching is they start teaching you like you got to come to God and I claim it and I demand it and I believe and it's mine and I receive. I'm like, well, why do you have to do all of that for something that's yours? I never done that when I went in the bank, walked in the bank and stood at the in the front counter and started saying, I claim and I receive, you know, you cash my check. You know what's yours, and you just come in confidently and quietly. And if you'll remember about a year or so ago, that's when I said I changed my prayer to, Lord, if you would be so kind, I would just like to make a withdrawal right now. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time. Thank you for your cooperation. By the way, can we hang out for a little bit? Got time for some lunch? Let's sit down and talk a little bit. Have a good time. You know, this is your covenant right. This is your covenant relationship. You have a right to it. God made provision for you to have it back in the Old Testament through Abraham. And then he sent Christ, so we didn't have to go to the high priest anymore. We could come straight to him. Awesome. Don't forget the rights that you've earned through this covenant in Jesus' name. And I pray that this word was a blessing to you. I hope you walked away with something that was fruitful and betters you. And I pray that it betters me. And may the word that you heard bring God's blessings to you. And I love you guys.